The Sports Cast, June 21st, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, twitch.tv, YouTube, and Apple Podcasts. And if you're an Apple Podcast, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, and also download our app for iOS in the iOS App Store, The Sports Cast. This past weekend was NBA thriller, of course, on Euros, but the Nets and the Bucks upsetting the Nets, and then, of course, the Hawks upsetting the Sixers, probably one of the biggest stories this past weekend in Atlanta that I don't remember the last time they went to the Eastern Conference Finals. But a man that might know that the answer to that question, Ryan Krista, all the way from Rochester. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you, Santiago. That is a good question. I'll have to get back to you on that. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. I'm thinking of Mikembe Mutombo maybe leading them there, but I don't think he had enough role players at the time either.
I don't think so. And I think, you know, they did have like a glory years, you know, when they had, who was it?
Dominique Wilkins.
Josh Smith.
No.
Well, after that, Josh Smith and Al Horford and Jeff Teague and Joe Johnson. Like, that was kind of like this prime, like, you know, Hawks team. You know, I think all four of them were all-stars at one point on one team. But I don't think they ever made the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't believe so.
That was very recent. That team that you just named.
Yeah, I mean, they broke that up, you know, probably about 6-7 years ago, you know, little by little.
for know. Trades and everything. Before we move on, how was your Father's Day yesterday?
Well, very good, you know. My wife and son treated me well. Started the day playing some golf, went to church, then went to our local minor league Rochester Red Wings baseball game, where we got to play catch on the field after the game, which was a lot of fun. And then went over to my parents for swimming and dinner. So good all-around day. Weekend, too. Spent the Saturday with my in-laws and celebrated my father-in-law. So positive. So
very positive. Okay. Very spoiled. Is this like your fourth Father's Day, or is this your how many times?
I mean, my son's birthday was last Sunday, so I guess I had a Father's Day, you know, I mean, 6 days after my son was born. Not too, you know, that, I don't know if that counts because I was half asleep during that. So,
yeah, I mean.
Wishing all the other, you know, sports fathers a happy Father's Day this weekend. And just, you know, I mean, we're talking basketball, but, you know, exciting time in sports. You know, like you mentioned, the Euros are going on. We had a clutch performance by John Rahm in the U.S. Open. You know, baseball is really heating up. In MLB, you got the College World Series. So, a lot going on, and obviously NHL playoffs. So.
Yeah, exactly, which I have not tapped on. But let's start with the Hawks winning last night against the Philadelphia Sixers, Game 7. Of course, the guy named Trae Young had a tremendous series, tremendous playoffs, to be honest. You know, he has, you know, taken this Hawks team. Obviously, the Sixers were with an Embiid that had a tear meniscus most of the series. But, hey, Young had 21 points. You can't beat it. Hey, Ryan, is the Hawks a worthy opponent? Are they a worthy contender?
Oh, absolutely. You know, team, you know, and actually, I mean, you know, really, if you want to say, Trae Young really didn't have a spectacular game. I know at one point he was 2-for-15 shooting. You know, he was able to manufacture some points at the foul line and make, you know, a clutch shot towards the end. But it was as it goes in the playoffs, you really depend on your, you know, the other, you know, your non-stars, you know, to really come up big. And I think Gallinari came up big for the Hawks, Collin, Poyter, you know, a lot of different players, you know, stepped up, you know, yesterday and the series for the, given the Hawks, you know, what they needed to get over the top.
The Hawks, you know, defeating the Knicks first round, which was kind of predictable. This series wasn't predictable as much as we thought. The Sixers, now we know with a half percent or 50% Embiid, I mean, he could have been more than 50%. The Sixers are almost nothing, and they repeat. They cannot get to that Eastern Conference finale. Ryan, what do you think about this team? I mean, should they add more pieces or just hope that Embiid gets healthy by the playoffs?
I mean, Embiid's health did play a role in it. Let's not get that wrong, you know. But, I mean, there's a lot of finger-pointing between, you know, the lack of productivity and Ben Simmons. Why is that a big deal? Because Ben Simmons makes a lot of money and his ball's in the hand a lot. But he doesn't make plays in the fourth quarter. You know, the offense stalls. You know, it's not good, Santiago. He took two shots in the whole series in the fourth quarter. Why does he want the ball in his hands? Because if he's afraid, because he's such an awful foul shooter, that if he has in hand, that, you know, the Hawks, all they're going to do is just grab him and send him to the line. You know, it's a tough situation for the Sixers. You know, a lot of people are scratching their heads at the strategy of, you know, Doc Rivers. The Sixers got a choice. You know, they want to, you know, keep rolling the dice with Ben Simmons, or, you know, they want to try to trade them away. The problem, you know, Ben Simmons' contract is so huge that they probably have to, you know, give one of their young stars to another team just so another team would take on Ben Simmons' contract. So there'll be decisions for Daryl Morey and his staff, you know, in the front office to make this offseason. But I don't think they need a... Yes, I think they need a change at the point guard, but...
But Seth Curry did turn up this series, Ryan.
What'd you say, Santiago?
Seth Curry did make a big splash in this series. Do you think he'd be enough?
He's great, you know, but Seth Curry isn't Steph Curry. You know, let's not get this wrong. Seth Curry is a remarkable shooter. He might even be a better pure shooter than, you know, Steph is. But at the end of the day, you know, Steph's a playmaker. He has the ball on his hand. Steph can't do that. You know, he's a spot-up shooter, you know, works well off the ball. But at the end of the day, you know, he's limited in his athletic ability. You know, was a great addition, you know. The Mavericks sure missed him at times this year. You know, they traded, you know, pretty much straight up Josh Richardson. They sent from Philadelphia to Dallas, and Dallas sent Steph Curry. It's kind of an offense and defense switch. But Josh Richardson's defense didn't always show up the way that Seth Curry's offense showed up. Yeah, you know, great move, you know. Obviously, you know, the family ties with Seth Curry being married to Doc Rivers' daughter. So that's, you know, a little family history there.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So Seth Curry's Doc Rivers' son-in-law.
Interesting situation in the bench there. As Ryan did mention, the Hawks did foul a whole lot with Simmons. There were some people were calling it like Hack a Simmons, referencing to Hack a Shaq, which worked, you know?
You know, you can pretty much do that in the NBA until 2 minutes left in the quarter. Then you can't foul somebody when they don't have the ball. You know, they get shots and the ball. So it really does make no sense to do that. So usually between the 2 and 4 man mark, they had to take Simmons out because the Hawks would just kind of foul him. But, you know, they bring him back with 2 minutes left. But he had no confidence in the series at times, Santiago. Which is that, you know, he's quite the talent. You know, he's a 6'11", you know, point guard. You know, really, or you can call him point forward, whatever you want to call him. But the man cannot shoot the ball. It's amazing, you know, great defensive player, you know. Great distributor of the ball, but, you know, it kind of ran its course, I think, in Philadelphia. You know, they got Harris, they got Embiid, they're ready to win the championship. They just got, you know, just rearranged the toolbox just a little bit.
I agree. And by the way, I did some quick research. The Hawks have been to the ECF, Eastern Conference Finals, in 2015 when they lost, when they were swept by LeBron James and the Cavaliers.
Absolutely. Okay. Good call, Santiago. I did. That was such a quick series that you kind of forget about that. But here you go.
And then, of course, the Cavaliers went on to face the Warriors. I don't know if they lost that one. Most likely they did. I know they won.
They did lose that one in 16. So
let's go into the West. The hottest team, literally, in the West, the Phoenix Suns facing the Los Angeles Clippers. Suns beat them 120-114. Close game from the number-wise. But Booker, the man, Kobe's protege, came up with 40 points with no Chris Paul. The Suns are looking good, Ryan.
Suns are in prime position, Santiago. It's interesting. I don't know if this had to do with more of the Clippers just kind of hitting a wall. You know, the Clippers have played a lot more basketball than the Suns have for the last week or so. A lot more emotional games. So I think that had something to do with that. But at the same time, you know, Devin Booker was, you know, money in the second half for sure.
Paul George led the Clippers. He's been performing phenomenal since Kawhi Leonard left. 34 points. Ryan, this Clippers team, you know, could have a chance in this series. What are your thoughts? Or do you think they might need Kawhi sometime, like later in the series, you think?
You know, it wouldn't hurt, you know. You know, Paul George is definitely carrying this team, you know. And again, he needs help. You know, against the Jazz the other night, you know, Terrence Mann comes out of nowhere and scores 39 points. He's going to need performances like that to carry him until Kawhi gets healthy, you know. But this is all about the Suns, Santiago. It's been a long time coming since we've seen the Suns in the finals, which I don't believe they've gone since Charles Barkley was part of the Suns organization.
That is correct. I did that research weeks ago, and it was since 1993 with Charles Barkley and Dan Marley.
Yeah, so they're ready. You know, the Death Valley there is ready for their Suns to make a run.
And this year is probably a great year. The Suns are healthy. The Lakers and LeBron are not there. So, you know, like this NBA Finals, now with the Nets gone, it's going to be wide open. Ryan?
Absolutely, Santiago. I think the real winner is the injury list in this NBA playoffs. Because we'll talk about the Bucks here, you know. Kind of the feeling, yes, the Bucks won the series. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, it was more or less the Nets, you know, coming up short, you know, with injuries and all that was really the big. Not having Kyrie, having him was very. I mean, I don't want to dog James Harden because he's giving everything he got, but he sure wasn't the same self. You know, Kevin Durant was doing as much as possible, but. Beyond that, you know, the role players really, you know, at times did not step up for the, you know, the Nets. You know, Joe Harris, you know, games in overtime, chance to really, you know, shut the door, 111-111, and what happens? He clanks, you know, wide open three. Why is this guy in the court? To shoot open three-pointers, you know, so that, it kind of hurt, you know. Again, you know, in the NBA playoffs, you know, especially this year with all the injuries, you can only go as far as, you know, your role players will take.
And as Ryan was referencing, this past weekend, the Milwaukee Bucks defeated the Nets in seven games. Game seven was 115-111. Giannis had 40 points and 13 rebounds. Middleton, second guy in command, had a great performance as well, 23 points and 10 rebounds. The Bucks are in the ECF, Eastern Conference Finals. Ryan Krista defeating a Nets. What do you think about this Bucks team? Do you think they have this potential? Of course, they're playing like the Hawks. And, I mean, the Hawks have not much of experience.
They're going to be the heavy favorite against the Hawks.
Sweep?
It's going to be really hard for the Hawks, I think, to stop Giannis. You know, he's such a big factor. You know, he's such a unique player. His ability to get to the rim, make plays. You know, for him and his teammates with, you know, his strength and athleticism. And then they place, you know, good shooters, you know, Middleton, Lopez, Holiday around them to, you know, make plays. This is their team. This is their year right now. Things are falling into place. If the Bucks don't win it this year, I don't know. You know, even I think it's championship or bust for the Hawks. I mean, for the Bucks this year. You know, the way the cards felt with injuries, you know, to the Nets, to the Sixers, you know. Celtics are kind of revamping. I know we'll talk about that a little bit later, but this is their year, you know, and go for it.
Something that I do agree with you, Ryan. I think like The Bucks have this team that have an easy series. You can say easy. I can't say definitely will be a sweep. I'm thinking Bucks in five.
It seems like a pretty standard pick. It all depends, you know, what kind of show can Trae Young put on, and again, what is he going to get from his supporting cast in Atlanta? You know, we'll see what happens.
Who would you compare Trae Young to?
He's so unique because, you know, he is a lot like a James Harden, you know, especially in Houston when James Harden, you know, they built the team around him, you know, with the ball in his hand, you know, go and, you know, if you don't have anything else around you, go take that, you know, that long range shot. The way they've, you know, they definitely, you know, a lot more free throwing, you know, since they made the coaching switch from Lloyd Pierce to Nate McMillan. You know, Trey's, you know, he's just a unique player, Santiago. It's just, it's hard to describe if he's like anybody else. Like, he can pull up from anywhere, but, you know, I think it's a Dame Lillard, I guess, if I had to take anybody else in the league.
Very, very close comparison. Before we move on, Brooklyn Nets, you know, were a favorite, another super team. Like the big three, Harden, Durant, and Kyrie never were able to play much together this past season. What are your thoughts over this Nets team?
Yeah, you can hit it on the head. Next year, they all play together. You know, they get in a groove. This could be a team that wins 55 to 60 games this year. You know, if they stay healthy, you know, and all depending, too. It's probably this notion that, yeah, if they all stay healthy, but they also probably know we're going to take some time off, you know, that load management strategy, too. So, again, you can win as many games in the regular season as the Utah Jazz, but if you don't win in playoffs, what does it matter? So that's kind of a new strategy in the NBA, you know. Kind of perfected, you know, early years ago by Greg Popovich, who is known for resting his key players in the regular season. To have them healthy in the playoffs. Now, it's kind of common practice, you know, for your star players, you know, take a game off, you know, every couple weeks just to rest their legs. It's a long season, so I would admit, if they're all healthy, they're going to win 55 games next year.
Something that we'll definitely look at, of course, and that's we'll be back next season. Steve Nash will have one season under his belt, so we'll see how this Nets team will flourish. You know, they just lost by one game. So they were close.
Yeah,
you know, tough bracket.
I think, you know, most people really, really thought the Nets injuries won rather than the Bucks winning the game.
Yeah. And that's something that's been the story.
Just think about that. You know, you're playing with 1.5 out of 3 superstars for most of this whole series. And it took overtime and 7 games for the Bucks to win the series. So it's kind of like, you know, Kyrie, you like him or you hate him, when he's on, he brings something special that the Nets were just lacking. You know, I was really kind of apprehensive about how this big three was going to work, but I think there's a lot of positive signs, you know, for the future for the Nets that they can keep this core together, you know, and build that team around them that, you know, they're going to be here for a while.
Absolutely. Brooklyn Nets, of course. Don't forget about Blake Griffin. Yeah, we'll see what happens. And also, LeBron was complaining on Twitter this past week that because of the bubble, that's why things kind of occurred of what's going on now. Would you agree?
I think, you know, what happened, we're saying, is the bubble lasted until October. They took literally, you know, a month and a half off, 2 months. Had a quick off season, literally, you know, things in motion. And then they started, you know, in December, you know, so there wasn't much time to catch their breath. And I think that's, you know, the reason why you have a lot of these soft tissue injuries, just because of the wear and tear on the body, you know. Human bodies weren't made to be, you know, they're pounding that, you know, an NBA game, and the NBA game gives you on a daily basis, and the NBA season gives you a total. So, like I said, you know, the injuries are kind of the big headline in this playoff so far.
Yeah, and there is an argument that the NBA players are a little bit too soft, do you think? Maybe they're not tough enough, you know, to endure these type of things? Or
maybe. I'm sure there's some of it, but at the same time, like I saw James Harden out there on one leg. I see Donovan Mitchell on one leg, you know. I think when you get to the playoffs, if you're healthy enough, you can play. If you can, I don't think anybody's wussing out on the playoffs. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong, but with these injuries, you know, you can look at an MRI, you know, and, you know, you probably look at everybody's MRI in the knee and you're going to see wear and tear at the end of the season, you know. It's really just, you know, a pain management issue.
And I will give a lot of credit to Embiid playing with a torn meniscus.
Absolutely. You know, what I learned is, you know, anytime you sprain a knee, you know, basically, you know, twisting of a knee too far will lead to any type of tear. So really, you know, when it says somebody tears a meniscus, which is a lot different than your ACL, so people out there don't confuse that. You know, a slight meniscus tear, while being extremely painful, and I will give tons of credit for me going up and down the court, it really doesn't inhibit, you know, you can tolerate the pain, you know, playing in an NBA game. Like I said, I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not just, you know, discrediting, you know, Embiid's toughness. I'm also saying I don't think that sprain was stopping his motion, more or less. You know, it was just painful, you know. And he gave everything he got, you know. He made clutch shots throughout the series, you know. He does Embiid-like things, you know, the enforcer and toughness, you know. Again, I mean, the Sixers, I think, have to do something. Either switching the coaching up again, getting rid of Ben Simmons, so maybe a bolt issue, you know, they have to take care of. But, like I said, they got a lot of talent around them. Really should be playing, you know, against the Bucks in the finals, you know. No harm to the Hawks, you know, because they played great and they deserve everything, you know. And they got to like their matchup. You know, I don't think against a dominating Bucks team, other, you know, they have a dominating player, Giannis, but we'll see what happens. You know, other news, San Diego, we got a lot of coaching news to talk about.
Yes, I was going to bring up Rick Carlisle resigned from the Mavericks after a 13-year tenure, a.k.a. Jim Carrey. Huge news. Obviously, there was some noise couple of weeks ago with someone asking Mark Cuban would he consider letting go of Carlisle. He said no. And then I think 2 weeks later, Carlisle resigns. Ryan, you have the Mavericks inside. What do you think happened?
You're towing the line when you say resign or let go. You know, when it could be a mutual parting. You know, I think 13 years is a long time for an NBA coach. You won a championship, he'll be forever celebrated in Dallas. And then, you know, right now you got a superstar in Luka Doncic. And also news, you got, before you even talk about Rick Carlisle, you got to mention that another long-term employee, Donnie Nelson Jr., resigned as GM of the Mavericks. So, you know, you had two major moves in, you know, the structure of the Mavericks. One, you know, there was a notion that, you know, Luka Doncic and Donnie Nelson Jr. were very close, because Donnie Nelson Jr. is the one who really took a chance on Luka Doncic, brought him to Dallas, you know, in a trade, you know, for Trae Young. That he was kind of hurt by this, but at the same time, he is not really close to Rick Carlisle. So, you know, they're trying to appease Luka Doncic, which you have to. It's all about, you know, making your stars happy in the NBA. And I don't think Luka Doncic wanted Rick Carlisle out, but there was this, you could just tell, you know, they didn't always gel. You know, Luka's a very emotional player. Rick Carlisle is not an emotional guy. Rick Carlisle is very old school or Godinez is, you know, the young, lighthearted guy, you know, probably doesn't, you know, doesn't always play with the, you know, the intensity that Ricard would like, you know, both ends of the core. So, it was probably a move for the best. You know, I love Rick. I think he was, he's one of the best offensive minds in basketball. You know, he really, you know, took Dirk to the next level, you know, was able to build a team around Dirk that was championship level, and then...
Which he came back to be an advisor to look for a coach.
Yeah, so Dirk's back. To me, I'm really surprised, you know, kind of second in command of the Mavericks, you know, has been Michael Finley, who is one of the, you know, the big three a long time ago when it was Steve Nash, Michael Finley, and Dirk Nowitzki. So I'd really be surprised if Michael Finley is not the GM of the Mavericks. Seems to have a great relationship with Mark Cuban. They did bring in, you know, an assistant GM last year who was high in analytics and odds. You know, he used to run the casino in Las Vegas, so he's all about numbers, you know, trying to, you know, build his roster and a team and playing a certain style based on those. So he seems to not be in the mix for this job and really, you know, kind of really dropped off in the face of the franchise here in the last couple weeks. So we'll see what they do with him. But yeah, they put, you know, a task force together to advise and pick a GM, and then the task force will help the GM pick the next coach. So, you know, with this offseason, you got a little bit more time than you did, you know, previous years finding your next coach. But I don't think they'll go too far. If you had to put a gun to my head, you know, Jamal Mosley has been the defensive coach for the Mavericks for a long time. Great relationship with Luka and a lot of the other Mavs. So I would be very surprised at the end of the day if he's not the coach. I think he's going to be the coach. I think him and Jason Kidd are the front runners for the job.
I was going to say Jason Kidd. I like Jason Kidd, Ryan, as I said previously. But we'll see how close he is with the Lakers. So,
you know, Jason Kidd will be a head coach, I think, in the offseason. So, there's a lot of guys, you know, Clippers assistant coach, Darvin Ham, you know, the Bucks assistant coach. There's a lot of guys who are kind of up for the job, and, you know, there's some politics involved in that, Santiago, let's not get wrong, you know. picking your coach, you know, whether it'll be the star player or, you know, wanting to give, you know, see the people. So we'll see where, you know, organizations go. I'm really intrigued by, you know, the Celtics, you know, head coaching job because, again, we talked about the weird situation Brad Stevens went from head coach to GM, you know, and they're throwing around a lot of unique people as head coaching, you know, candidates, you know, from a Chauncey Billups to a NBA female assistant coaches, you know, Becky Hammon and Therese Witherspoon. So I would be really intrigued at where the, you know, the Celtics, which I think they really want to go with this, you know, kind of a splash in the sense of the headlines, whether it being, you know, a female woman coach, you know, which would make major news across the board. I'm not saying one way or the other way. I think it'd be unique. It'd be a good storyline. But I'm really interested to see, you know, where their heads at the end of the day.
And there also are two coaches out there available, and that's Stan Van Gundy, who parted ways with the New Orleans Pelicans, and Scott Brooks parting ways with the Wizards. Any thoughts on that, Ryan?
Stan Van Gundy, I think, you know, he had the run. You know, he had a good run in, you know, Orlando, went to the finals with Clay Howard. But kind of had a rough go around in Detroit, you know, and I think the Pelicans really thought he, you know, being a tough-nosed guy, that he would really drain out the Pelicans. But this is where the NBA is unique. You know, you definitely need to be a player's coordinator coach. And I think his no-nonsense kind of personality that Stan Van Gundy has, really, you know, isolated, you know, star player Zion Williamson and Ingram and Alonzo Ball. So I definitely think they're going to go in a major different direction with that job.
And finally, Scott Brooks parting way with the Wizards and no longer again with Russell Westbrook. Thoughts on that?
It was really unique. You know, they made a great turnaround. You know, I think there was this one in a different voice. You know, I think the Wizards showed their potential at the end of the second half of the season, what they could do. At the end of the day, I think they needed another voice, I think, in the locker room to get to the next level. It became evident, even though as much success as the Wizards have, they kind of refused to give Scott Brooks the contract extension, which is very unique. You know, when the team has that much success, why they wouldn't, you know, give him a contract, other than meaning that they just wanted another coach. It's kind of a firing without firing, basically. You know, can't coach without a contract.
You mentioned the Celtics. They are getting Al Horford again. They traded Kemba Walker for Horford with other picks. What are your thoughts over that?
Well, first off, I'd like to tell the Thunder fans, please do not get a Kemba Walker jersey. He is not long for this team. They are adding draft assets like none other. This team will have first-round picks going up the wazoo, which they'll use, obviously, to take picks, or they're going to use to, you know, grab star players from other teams. So I think the Thunder are a unique team, you know, who are in the future because they have so much draft capital. What are they going to do with it? You know, what's their plan? So really intrigued by that. And then, you know, Al Horford coming back to the Celtics after a brief stay with the Thunder. He will make a good team great. He's not going to make an average team good. You know, he doesn't have that star power anymore. Obviously, his better days are behind him. But at the same time, he's still got something left in the tank. And he kind of showed it this year with the Thunder. He only played half the season before the Thunder. I think we're playing too many games, and they realized, you know, just to shut him down. So, they can keep a higher draft position. So, definitely a quality, you know, human being, quality man in the locker room. So, it definitely make a big difference to the Celtics, whatever direction they go as a franchise.
One of the first major room moves by Celtics GM Brad Stevens. So, we'll see what else he has in the docket. Before we land this plane, your Rochester Rhinos has a new co-owner, Jamie Vardy from Leicester City. Ryan, how you feeling about that move?
Whatever gets the Rhinos back on the field, San Diego. It's been, you know, 3-4 years since they've played, you know, had an outdoor season. So it's kind of, they got to say this franchise is kind of out of sight, out of mind here, you know. The Rhinos used to be such a staple of the city and the sports, you know, landscape, you know. Whatever gets them back, you know, even at a lower level USL, you know, get them playing, get, you know, people excited about soccer again here in the Flower City.
There you have it. Rhinos, new ownership. And I was telling Ryan, one of my favorite memories of them was winning the 99 U.S. Open. And they were beating out all those other MLS team, which are first division. And Ryan,
yeah, exactly.
And the Rhinos were, I think.
I got a lot of memories from that run, Santiago. Because back in the day in the U.S. Open Cup, I'm not quite sure if your listeners are aware. So the U.S. Open Cup is an open tournament for all, you know, United States Soccer League teams, you know. So, you know, you got from the MLS down to, you know, semi-pro teams. Participating in this tournament. So it's a summer-long tournament. So each level, you know, you'll start with semi-pro, play semi-pro, and those teams will go against the USL 3, you know, then so-and-so the USL 2 comes in, and then the MLS team. So basically the Rhinos, to get to the level where they had to be four MLS teams. And because MLS teams, you know, play at that time in 99, most MLS teams are playing in football stadiums. The host, so having, you know, additional games playing in the football stadiums is quite costly. So it's actually more financially prudent for these teams to go and play at the USL teams because, you know, they would, you know, USL teams would want to host these games because they get lots of people to come. So it was kind of a, you know, win-win. So the MLS teams would save money, but at the same time, you know, win for the USL teams. Well, that fact is, you know, I got to go to a lot of those games, you know, in the run against the MLS teams because, like I said, so, you know, seeing, you know, a couple overtime thrilling games, it was an exciting time. You know, the Rhinos had a lot of success in that tournament. Kind of made it a claim to, you know, being Soccer City USA there for a long time, you know, with the crowds and enthusiasm that the Rhinos brought to the city. It was kind of a place to be on Friday and Saturday nights around here. So
there you have it. Ryan.
It was one of the most, you know, unique, sad stories is, you know, during the glory days, they're playing at the baseball stadium, Frontier Field, you know, getting, you know, 10,000+, you know, at least every game, if not, you know, getting close to 12,000 to 13,000. So they built a soccer specific stadium about a mile away from there. And like a lot of, you know, cities, you know, you go a mile outside of downtown, you know, the environment's a little bit different than it is than right in the city center. So it wasn't as an enticing place to go to watch a sporting event. And ownership, you know, changed several times. You know, it was a sad to see, you know, even when they first opened, you know, it was standing room only for two games. And then by the end of that season, they hosted a championship game, you know, with, you know, 5,000 people, which is, you know, kind of the was, you know, laying down the foundation of, you know, how the several years go where they hardly ever got to, you know, 5,000 again, you know, which is kind of sad, but, you know, we'll see what the ownership has, you know, their own, you know, majority stake owners are a local couple who has actually got stakes in the Sacramento Kings, you know, so they're part owners of that franchise. So hopefully, you know, a combination of that, you know, and more assets, you know, by Jamie Vardy, you know, throwing his money in the ring there, you know, be able to put a team back on the field.
He said he had several options, but he felt Rochester felt right at home for him. So,
yeah, you know, it's kind of laying that foundation, you know. I mean, not saying Jamie Vardy is about ready to retire or go play in America, you know, that he'll, you know, hopefully maybe end his career here in Rochester, you know, which would be a great draw here. So
I never thought about that. Yeah, he could play his last couple years in Rochester.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously, you know, I don't know what level they're going to come into, you know, when they start playing again, but it would be cool to see, you know, it'd be cool for him to play for a team that he owns.
Anyways, anything else before we head into predictions?
No, let's go for it.
All right, game two tomorrow, Clippers at Phoenix. Who you got?
I think I'm going to go back with the Suns again. Clippers. Trying to keep their streak alive of losing the first two games in each series, so
should be 2-0 Phoenix. Next game one, Atlanta, Milwaukee.
I'm gonna go with Milwaukee. I think this is just how I predict the series to go, so I'm gonna say that they'll win this.
And that series starts on Wednesday night. Looking forward to that one. Best of luck to Trae Young and the Hawks. Twitter poll question of the day, Ryan, what goes best with peaches? Cream, yogurt, ice cream, or pie?
Peaches.
Yeah. What goes best with whipped peaches? Yeah. Put them in cream, yogurt, ice cream, or in a pie?
Oh, yogurt.
Yogurt, it is. He's going healthy. Cream is winning. No, ice cream is ice cream and pie is tied for first at 34%, then goes cream, then yogurt last at 11.4%.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Yeah, it was good talking a little NBA with everybody out there. I hope everybody enjoys the conference finals as we move along here in the playoffs. We'll see. You know, it's definitely not the teams, you know, that's definitely a heavy topic is injuries, but, you know, we've got four worthy teams who deserve an opportunity here to get to the finals.
Hey, great opportunity. For example, if the Suns win it this year, they'll have championship experience to go up against the Lakers if they do next season. And same for the Hawks, gain some experience. And same for the Bucks, so have more confidence, build that confidence builder for each of their respective clubs. Ryan, what is the best way to reach you online to get a peach cobbler recipe?
Mad Dog Report on Twitter.
You can reach us at the Sportscast One or the Sportscast One on Twitter or at thesportscast.net for the latest and greatest. We'll be keeping up to date with the Euros. Right now, Netherlands are up 1-0 against North Macedonia. So far, the Euros, my favorite team to win it. It was France, but I'm liking Italy more.
Italy is playing great, Santiago. I don't know. Is Italy hosting a lot of these, or going to host the next round of games?
I think so. I know Rome is definitely one of the like the main hosts, but I know by the semifinals they might not. But we'll see, because home field advantage is working out for Italy. Anyways,
they just seem like a lot of playing with a lot of confidence. I mean, when Italy can score goals, they're quite, you know, they're tough to beat because obviously their pedigree is to play great defense. So any goals in the Italian you get from the Italian team is a blessing, you know. I don't think they've been scored upon yet, Santiago.
No, and their B team beat the Wales A team yesterday, so 1-0. So they were undefeated in the first round.
So, Santiago, tell me, is there any, like, when you mean Wales A team, you mean Gareth Bale?
Gareth Bale, Joe Allen. There's a couple other players that play in the Premier League. This is a good team, so.
Okay, so it's not just a one-man team anymore?
No. There's several, a lot of good role players in that Wales team. Gareth Bale, you know, hasn't been playing much this past season, so it kind of balanced things out. But, hey, you know, Wales made it second place with 4 points. That's not bad.
Not bad. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. And, you know, we finish up, the opening round before we get to the knockout stage.
When things get a lot serious. Anyways, Ryan, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Thanks for having me, Santiago. God bless everybody.